Hello, Church. I want to thank the many of you who have prayed for our daughter and son-in-law who live in Brooklyn, New York. While there's no current way to prove it, they probably were infected with the COVID-19 virus, but they seem to be rebounding in a positive direction. So thank you for your prayers and continued prayer support for them. That daughter, our Brooklyn daughter, sent us an eerie video not too long ago. Her phone was pointed down at their street, not a car or person to be seen, but there was a constant noise, the noise of sirens throughout the entire short video, sirens wailing. And she noted that this is what you now hear all the time. If you're watching, listening to, and or reading the news, New York City is the current epicenter of the COVID-19 virus in our country and perhaps even in the world. Tens of thousands of infections and a death rate expected to skyrocket in the next 2 weeks. It can be easy for us to see and hear all this and wonder, my God, where are you? It really is a good question. It's a question that arises in the Psalms pretty frequently, which I interpret as permission for me and you to ask the very same question. Today is Palm Sunday and the beginning of Holy Week. This is a big week for Christians all over the world. We're really familiar with the story, right? Palm branches, Jesus on a donkey entering Jerusalem, people shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. John, in the gospel that bears his name, tells a story of something Jesus said right after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus says, my soul is troubled. And then he muses, should I ask God to save me from this hour? He answers his own question, no, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Jesus follows this statement with this. He says, Father, glorify your name. And a voice responds, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. If you're with Jesus at that moment, you wouldn't have had a clue as to what he was talking about. But John, in telling the story, wants us to see and understand something essential about God and who we as Jesus followers are to be. There are three key words that anchor John's story and our understanding. Those words are our, glorify, and name. In the Bible, glory, or the glory of the Lord, points us to God's presence. The Shekinah glory, that pillar of flame that hovered over and filled the tabernacle in the Exodus story, that was the presence of God amidst the people and their journey. In Revelation chapter 21, the writer sees the restored creation, the new heaven and new earth, but notes there is no sun. This is what he says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Now, friends, this description is to say God is fully present and leading the nations. So when Jesus prays, Father, glorify your name, what he is asking is for God to manifest his presence. The second key word is name. Now, names are important to us, right? Each of our daughters have a backstory to their names. In the biblical world, a person's name has deep meaning regarding their character. So the book of Proverbs says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. In other words, good character is really important. name in the Bible most often equals character. So when Jesus says, glorify your name, and the Father responds, I have glorified it and will glorify it again, what this tells us is that in and through Jesus, God is supremely revealing both his presence and character, what God is really like. So in and through Jesus, God's presence and character is being shown to all people. Friends, we have a God who does not want to sit in some lazy boy recliner, aloof and distant, cut off from us and our situations like a global pandemic. But rather, God is the God who wants to be very much present and showing us his character amidst life, including COVID-19. So what does this look like? And frankly, why does it even matter? That's a great question. And this brings us to the third word, hour. Jesus isn't referring to a chronological hour, but the event of his passion and death and what God is doing through these. Jesus is going to face down human brokenness, sin, in all of its expressions, both personal, individual, and systemic. He will take on and absorb the violence of prideful religious institutions, the brutality of mob beatings, the personal experience of betrayals and abandonment, as well as the might of the Roman Empire that proclaimed Caesar and Caesar alone is Lord. Jesus will take these on. He'll absorb them and overcome them victoriously as he overcomes death itself in the Easter resurrection. This is the quote-unquote hour Jesus is talking about. So let me try to put this all together as we enter Holy Week amidst a global pandemic called COVID-19. The sounds of sirens, the sights of empty streets, and news of rising infections and death rates is rattling. But we might rightly wonder, where the heck is God? Certainly would be nice if he were to show up. John's gospel reminds us that God is already here. We have a God whose very nature is to be present amidst sirens and suffering, fear and ventilators, the God who is in the laboratories and human trials for new treatments and possible vaccines. Our God is the God of incarnation, the God who comes in the flesh, who says to his followers, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, for the Father and I are one." You've heard it said before that when bad things happen that rattle our worlds, look for those who run towards the danger. Friends, God does this. He runs towards the danger. God is present, glory, in acts of compassion, sacrifice, encouragement, love, wisdom, creativity, creation, because these reflect the character, name of God. I heard of a retired nurse this past week, a nurse practitioner who has signed up for the Michigan Medical Reserves. I was told she can't wait to get called up. And friends, she's a Jesus follower. She wants to help. She wants to be on the front lines to fight something that threatens our ability to flourish. She wants to help people and our community. She is a signpost of God amidst COVID-19. I saw a video earlier this week of Spanish doctors celebrating and thanking the people who clean and sanitize the hospitals. There they were, applauding and yelling out their praise and thanks. Now, think about that. Doctors, they're kind of like the top of the hospital food chain. Custodial staff, environmental staff, well, many people would view them as the bottom of the food chain. But the doctors are cheering the cleaning staff. That's an expression of God's presence amidst COVID-19. You see, Jesus redefines the glory, the earthly glory of kings, prime ministers and presidents, red carpet celebrities, and superstars of all types that so many of us tend to, frankly, worship. Jesus walks away from what our culture often calls glory. I love how the Apostle Paul describes Jesus' glory in Philippians chapter 2. He says this, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but rather emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Friends, this is our God who is with us amidst COVID-19. Now, John's gospel story not only tells us who and where God is, but the story calls us to do the very same. Jesus says in this story, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also." You and I are called to be the hands and feet, the mind and voice of Christ, who said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is Jesus' glory. Being the presence of Jesus, friends, is not some mystical, weirdly religious thing. When Gigi and I drove to Canton, Ohio for her mother's burial, we traveled on the Ohio Turnpike. That trip was over 5 hours one way. So at some point, we had to stop at a roadside rest to use the facilities. We saw men and women custodians cleaning the bathrooms. Both of us expressed our thanks to them for showing up and making sure things were clean and safe for those of us needing to travel. We affirmed the value and importance of their work. We appreciated them and thanked them. I hope that blessed and encouraged them. I hope the Holy Spirit used those moments to whisper to those people, "Hey, I'm here in this with you, and I'm using you." This past week, Gigi Venmo'd her hairstylist, whose business is shuttered because of the pandemic. She Venmo'd her a payment for services not yet rendered. That stylist was amazed. She was blessed. And hopefully, it was a God signpost for her saying, "I'm in this with you. You're not alone." So church, how can you be the presence and character of God to someone this week? A phone call, a text, a card, an act of compassion, a financial gift to someone laid off, a gift to an organization that's helping people amidst this crisis? Maybe a word of thanks and affirmation to the person who picks up your trash and recycling, or the mail carrier or UPS worker who delivers your meds or other packages. What about the person stocking the grocery shelves or working the checkout line? Thank them for coming to work. Thank them for the vital services they provide for so many of us. And we can pray. Jesus spent time in prayer, and we can join him as we pray for first responders and medical staff, for researchers and their teams, for frontline workers in grocery stores and warehouses, governments at all levels and around the world, as they seek to respond efficiently and effectively to the pandemic. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus lifted up his voice with loud cries and prayers. We too can cry out for and shed tears for those who have lost loved ones, for those who have lost employment, for those gripped by fear and hopelessness. Friends, our God is amid this pandemic with a towel and basin serving, with the loud cries and prayers, tears of prayer, with words of encouragement and thanks, with acts of compassion and generosity, and his servants look for ways to join him. Please join me as we pray. Loving God, thank you for revealing your name, your character to us in and through your only Son, Jesus. Thank you for showing us your glory, your presence with us, supremely in your only Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for you entered the hour of betrayal, abandonment, judgment, brutality, violence, and death itself. You allowed yourself to be crushed by the virus of our sins. But then you overcame all of these, past, present, and future, in the glory of your victorious resurrection. Give to us victorious resurrection hope that enables us to endure this hour of pandemic. Use us as vessels of your presence to one another, our families, our neighbors, and indeed the world. Give to us the creative awareness to step up in words of encouragement and thanks with deeds of compassion and generosity. We pray for all of those who keep the infrastructure of our communities functioning. Lord, in your mercy, bless them. We pray too for our first responders, the medical and research communities. Lord, in your mercy, encourage, protect, and give to them creative imaginations and wisdom that will discover new treatments and vaccines. We pray for business owners and entrepreneurs. Help them in this time to care as best as they can for their employees and to see the way forward. Sustain them that they might be our engines of economic renewal. Be with our community, county, state, federal, and world leaders. Give them wisdom and a spirit of unity and self-sacrifice as they seek the flourishing of all. Loving God, God who is with us, we offer these prayers in Christ's name. Amen.